three, bottom three, or Farscape. I am not alone. I am with the person who chose Farscape for this episode of Top Three, Bottom Three, and that is Abby. Say hello.
Yes, it is I, Abby, a person and definitely not a puppet. A very good puppet.
Oh, God, I wish.
Hello. I'm Abby.
And I wish. Oh, it would make editing so much easier for me. Why did you choose Farscape for this episode?
I like Farscape and I wanted to rewatch Farscape. Also, I panicked because I didn't have anything last time. So we had to very quickly edit in Farscape instead of whatever it was I chose before that I didn't want to watch.
Well, that you had me pick. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, Farscape aired in 1999. It aired on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was produced by the Jim Henson Company and Hallmark Entertainment, which,
weird.
Yeah, they have
weird choices.
Changed a bit since then.
A little.
Anyway, the series was conceived by Rockne O'Bannon. It is an Australian-American co-production. It features a number of different characters who were prisoners. They are joined by astronaut John Crichton of Earth. I've heard of that planet. Have you heard of that planet?
It is one of the planets I've heard of.
Of all the planets I have heard of.
That is one of them.
Is one of them.
I've been there.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Earth in a bit, but.
It's hard on my little puppet leg.
For Farscape. That's fair. Too much gravity on your puppet legs. Farscape features, like I say, a number of different characters. They're formerly prisoners. John Crichton is our lead. He's joined by Aaron Soon, who was part of the Peacekeepers. The Peacekeepers are a military force and are not exactly good at the whole keeping the peace thing in this universe. And they find themselves on board Moya, which is a living spaceship. They were using Moya, they being the Peacekeepers, as a prison transport, thus the prisoners on board. And in the end, everybody just gets together, this eclectic group. They just kind of want to go home, including Crichton. And the series evolves from there. It is very continuity based, we will say. There's only a few standalone episodes, which we will get into momentarily. But it's
there's puppets.
Yes, this is the
there's puppets, and that's the
Jim Henson
thing.
Corporation. We watched this in what is easily the worst way to watch a show like this. So I don't want to discuss the episodes at length in terms of the plot and that sort of thing. I will say, so we watched season 2, episode 3, season 2, episode 2, and season 2, episode 7.
Here's the thing about, I think we are 100% okay talking about those season 2 episodes.
To get it out of the way with the worst ones, none of them are, they're all standalone episodes. They are what is now referred to as sort of filler episodes. This is the good and bad of, and something I want to get into, but this is the good and bad of 20 some odd episode seasons. In the case of Farscape, it's 22 episodes. You're going to have some not great ones. And with Farscape, the bright side, I guess, is that the not great ones are non-story arc related episodes. The negative means they are just outright skippable. They were not very good. I would argue they are not good because they weren't part of the story arc, in that the story arc for Farscape is very different. It does a lot of things that television at the time and even nowadays doesn't really do. And so the normal episodes stand out, or normal as in like the story arc related episodes that have some type of development, be it the plot or to the characters. These kind of throwaway episodes were super tropey.
It was a different time. It was a different time. The season 2 episodes that we watched that were the worst, one of them is Dargo gets a friend And then the other one is Chiana loses a friend.
Her brother.
Yeah. Well, I presumably they were friendly, but.
And goes to a grave planet with idiots and a weird anti-drug episode. I really don't know. There was no point. It was atrocious. That was the worst rated one, by the way. That is Taking the Stone.
Yeah, I can believe that because the episode is not very good. I did enjoy watching that episode in some ways. So I'm going to talk about sort of the two worst. The best ones are very, very good. The best ones are very good. I don't know if they would be like the best rated episodes. They're probably rated as highly as they are because they fill in or culminate major arcs in the story. But like, for example, we just finished watching
It was the top rated episode, which is the penultimate episode of season 3. Farscape ran for 4 seasons. It was conceived as a 5 season series. And in an eerily similar to Babylon 5, it was canceled fairly early on into season 4, actually before season 4 started airing. Unlike Babylon 5, it never got a 5th season. It did get a miniseries / movie, The Peacekeeper Wars, to wrap up the show. But the season 4 finale ended on a cliffhanger and was supposed to be just a cliffhanger into the next season. Well, that didn't happen. It got quantum leaped, and that was it.
That episode that we just watched that was rated the highest, I enjoyed it. I don't know that I enjoyed watching it as much as Dargo Gets a Friend, which is one of the worst rated episodes.
I think because you're watching it out of continuity, though, the Dargo Gets a Friend is season 2, episode 2, Vitas Mortis. It was atrocious.
It wasn't that bad.
It was
awful. It wasn't as bad as Chiana and Chekhov's Life Disc.
No, it wasn't quite as bad. It was right around there, though. So it did, when I say it's tropey, it did the annoying thing that I despise as well. And actually last week during the Fade Out episode, Ryan talked about this. There is essentially a mystery or things happening, and the audience is aware of it so far ahead of the characters. It is incredibly frustrating. What's worse is in this case, the characters have the same amount of information as the audience. There are sequences which they are not present for. It is just, it requires the characters to be stupid.
Vita Mortis,
it
which
was very frustrating.
I'm going to guess is life death. Dargo Gets a Friend, because Dargo was originally supposed to help an old lady move on to the next world. They don't do that. The lady does some magic, and instead she becomes a young, hot lady, and then Dargo has a very good friend and has a very good time. And we, the audience, have figured it out that, as it turns out, she's actually sucking the life force out of the living ship, and the living ship, weirdly, at the same time as all this is happening, the living ship is having weird troubles that it's never had before. And oh my God, what could it be?
Well, it's aging is what's happening. They're supposed to live for thousands of years, and suddenly it's just sort of parts of it are dying.
The magic stole the life from the living ship Moya and gave it to Dargo's friend. We know it. Dargo knows it. The friend knows it. I can't remember her name. I found her horrifying to look at. Even though she was supposed to be like a beautiful member of his species.
And then the next episode that was bad was Home on the Remains, which is just sort of forgettable.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one.
Or Moya runs out of food. They have to go.
Oh, God.
Budong.
Oh, that was so much worse. That was so much worse.
It at least had interesting elements to it, in that we learn a bit more about one of the crew's physiology and that sort of thing. Vitas Mortis had nothing. It was so bad. And again, like I said, everyone is an absolute imbecile in the episode, except for Aaron, who's the only one that goes, all right, we got to kill the lady.
I'm
Which, I mean, if you're watching it, you you get to that conclusion within 5 minutes of the episode.
Here's where it's top three, bottom three, right? So I disagree that in sort of the categorization of these six episodes, I would have top, bottom, blah, 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 in probably mostly the same order, but in a different order. So for example, Dargo Gets a Friend, I remember telling you at the time that I greatly enjoyed looking at the screen, except for when Dargo's little friend was around, because she's just, the makeup is not attractive. I loved looking at the practical sets. I loved looking at the costumes and the characters and the makeup and the little droids that go boop booping around. They're trying to get Chiana out of the, I guess it's technically a washing machine. You know, it's, I like looking at what's on the screen. The cracked out space planet, I did not like what I was looking at on the screen. So that sends it to the bottom. And then the food one was also, I don't like what's looking on the screen, what I'm seeing on the screen. The food one also, I don't like what I'm looking at on the screen.
Okay.
The episodes, in terms of like, yes, they all have these kind of samey tropes, things like that. They're all pretty much sort of average at best in terms of like nothing new really is being said or done or whatever. Interesting choices all around. But the experience of actually watching the show, I found in the case of Dargo Gets a Friend to be quite enjoyable. And I would say that that experience of actually watching the television show was better, in my opinion, for me and the things that I like, with Chiana Goes to the Cracked Out Space Planet versus the Need Food for Zahn episode.
That episode you mentioned with Chiana going to the drug planet, It also required the characters to act like imbeciles. Most notably Chiana, but at least there's somewhat of a reason given with her brother passing. But my point is just,
it was weird. It was weird. Can I talk about the creature designs? Because that it does actually have a purpose and it does actually relate to what we're talking about.
On the positive side, we had season 2, episode 5. We also had season 2, episode 22, and then the top-rated episode was season 3, episode 21. I don't want to talk about them a whole lot because they are very much our story arc-related episodes. Having said that, I do definitely want to talk about positives about the show and things like that. So one of the things is, yes, the design of characters and creatures. So I mentioned before, the Jim Henson Company worked on this. This was conceived of in 1993. It took roughly 6 years to eventually sort of come to a point where they were going to do the show. Through that, it was pretty much always going to be a show involving puppetry for the aliens.
So not CGI, essentially. We are very much pre the days of just make the TV show and the computer.
That is not remotely true, but okay.
I said, okay, listen.
There were plenty of shows, was what I was going to get at. There were also shows that had CGI creatures at this point, but we weren't at a point where it was the norm and sort of where it is now, yes.
Fair enough. Fine.
But the use of practical effects really extended beyond that, in that the sets, you mentioned the look of the show. So the sets on board Moya, which is the living ship that Crichton and crew are on, the sets on board it are all practical. They're all actual sets. Whereas today, of course, if you were going to do it, more than likely, it would just be a CGI ship.
Yeah, you're just in front of a big green screen.
Yeah. I'm not trying to knock the current generation of shows, but it's a lot more fun to look at and watch this. And frankly, I like it more than the CGI fest there's a feel to everything. Everything seems to have weight to it. There's a look to the show. This is, by the way, outside of the puppets, which we'll get to. But in terms of the set design and everything else, the fact that it's all practical and it exists for the most part is really to the show's benefit. It really makes me kind of miss this.
Yeah, the show holds up surprisingly well because those were all real things. Those things actually physically existed for the actors to interact with and for the light to bounce off of in a real way. You know, it looks real because it is real versus, I'm just going to take the first thing that pops into my head, but, you know, a lot of the Star Wars right around that time, the episodes 1, 2, and 3, where it's all just a movie made in a computer and it doesn't hold up quite as well.
Yeah. I was going to bring up a show that I really like and the effects are really well done for, but it's a show we both like, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, where the majority of it is not practical. It is largely CGI. There are certain sets like the bridge and other places, but for the most part, uses an awful lot of CGI in it. And I love the show and I like the plot. I like the characters, but yeah, there's something missing. Like it makes me miss the old sort of Star Trek, even the ultra old ones with, you know, the cardboard doors or that kind of thing. Like it just, there is a feel to it. And I don't want to make this a everything is better when I was younger or something like that, because it's not, frankly. It's not that. We can do better shows regardless of. The effects on The Expanse are not great. The CGI in places is not great. It is a fantastic show in spite of that. I don't think that the effects are the be-all end-all, but there is something to be said for sort of the physical nature of them and for, yeah, letting your actors have something to interact with and bounce off of, essentially.
It's the type of thing that you needed somebody like the Jim Henson Company to do, because if you did not commit to it and commit to it all the way, it would not work. If they had made some of them less weird or more weird, it would have been a completely different feel. They really, really nailed the core cast and their look, and you believe that these are aliens, right? And they're, you know, many different kinds of aliens. Rigel's puppet is a little rough, but, you know, Pilots is insane. Insane.
Pilots, unsurprisingly to anyone listening, is the pilot on board Moya. And the puppet for Pilot is fantastic and extremely elaborate and so very expressive while still being exceptionally alien.
Yeah, I mean, he's got tentacles and stuff, right? Like he's got big doe eyes and they blink and he has emotions, and it's really extremely well done.
Yeah.
And that's like, they almost always knock the creature part out of the park, except for when they don't. It's again, it's the kind of thing. Well, no, but like, so for example, you know, Dargo looks great.
Yeah.
His new friend looks absolutely awful. It looks like they taped a whole bunch of like weird prosthetic things to her nose and cheek, and it looks terrible. It's the kind of thing you got to go 100% into, and it's got to be all the way there.
I am impressed with the variance, though, in terms of not everybody just looks like a puppet or some type of prosthetic with two arms and two legs, i.e., again, I love it. Not trying to knock it here, but let's be honest. Every alien in Star Trek either has some sort of, the line on Lower Decks.
They got some sort of nasal bridge thing going on.
Yeah, exploring the universe isn't just finding different species with different nose ridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. What about the Fish Boys who were in that one TNG episode?
Yeah, one episode where they're played by Fleetwood Mac. Anyway.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's one of the other things. I mean, Star Trek was capable of it, and it had, it's one of the few that had a budget to do it, and they just sort of chose not. They just didn't.
So that's why, like, I understand that there's budget concerns, and you've already got so much money in the characters that you have to have, right, in your core cast. And I can appreciate that, you know, not maybe the people who are living on the gross dead body mining colony aren't going to look very pretty, but television is a visual medium. I really did not like that episode, the dude who was in the mining camp and they just kind of put lumps on his face.
Mm.
And in the cracked out space planet.
Everything involved with that was just not good, though. I don't feel like, I'm not all that interested in harping on it, because I suspect somebody at some point looked at the script and just decided to, hey, we're going to save some money.
Well, here's the thing, right? They take Chiana, who is this beautiful character, extremely striking, and then they gave her just the worst hair, just neon orange dreadlock, awful, awful. But in that same episode, we've got an old, who's somebody over the age of 22, who's covered in these weeping pustules, and they're disgusting, but it looks amazing, right? Like that's kind of what I'm getting at, you know? The diagnosis from one of the better episodes, I think it was the penultimate season 2 one, the diagnosis is horrifying to look at, but it's awesome. He just has a weird, like, I'm going to say clam organism-like face with lots of labial folds, if you will. But it's an incredible thing. And you believe the way that the actor moves, you believe that this character is something that exists or could exist, versus we put a bunch of lumps on a guy and nobody can really tell what accent he's trying to go for.
Mm. Also, to be fair, in the negative side of the visual appearance of the bad episodes, weird slow-mo, i.e. the Die Another Day calling card, makes its reappearance here. Just random slow motion at certain points. I don't know why it's used.
And we have seen it across multiple seasons. So I guess that's kind of like a, I guess that's just kind of part of the Farscape visual language.
Apparently.
It was jarring at first, and then I kind of got used to it. We're harping on this like you shouldn't watch Farscape. You should absolutely watch Farscape.
That is why I don't want to spoil the good episodes and the overall arc to the show. Mm. It is exceptionally good. There is a number of different characters come onto the ship, characters leave the ship / show. It was exceptionally good for a number of years. It's extremely sad that it got canceled. It aired during a time essentially in between Star Trek's. Star Trek Enterprise had not started up. And
Voyager and DS9 were just kind of winding down, I think.
DS9 was still going.
Voyager was also still going at the time.
It was during the time when Star Trek was considered, quote unquote, in decline. But having said that, I mean, Star Trek was still going well. DS9 was the back end of that, was fantastic. So it's in any case,
it is a miracle that this show lasted as long as it did, because Star Trek back then, and even so now, but less so, Star Trek was for big nerds. You know, that's like how you identify the kid that you're gonna beat up and take his lunch money, right, as he watches Star Trek. Now you have Star Trek with puppets. It is incredible that this show lasted as long as it did, and I think a testament to its quality.
Well, to be fair, fairly soon we're going to have Star Trek with puppets. Actual Star Trek, but that's another story.
Wait, what?
This aired in a time when Star Trek was considered in decline, and science fiction in general was kind of hurting. We fairly soon got Firefly, which didn't last very long either. Really, it wasn't until Battlestar Galactica, which was 2004, did any sort of science fiction stick around, really. It's kind of, it's sad. It was a rough time for sci-fi. Farscape never...
Ahead of its time.
Farscape never hit the heights of anything. In terms of, unfortunately, like I mentioned before, it got canceled in season 4. It aired on the Sci-Fi Network, which was a graveyard. And if you want your show to get seen, the Sci-Fi Channel, not the best place. Not the best place to
start.
Could
we even get it in Canada?
So it aired on YTV in Canada.
We had to watch reruns on like Space.
No,
Space
it was
channel,
on YTV
right?
in Canada. So, yes.
Youth television? There's not very much youth in this Farscape. Boy, oh boy. Dargo got a very good friend.
There's a handful of lasting things to this. Most notably, James Gunn, who directed and worked on the Guardians of the Galaxy films, cites it as one of his biggest inspirations. But beyond that, both Ben Browder and Claudia Black would join Stargate SG-1 for its final two seasons. And there were references to Farscape there. But after that, there's just nothing. And it really sucks that nobody knows this show. It is very good. It is worth watching. It has almost essentially become lost media, despite the fact it's available everywhere. It's just I never hear anybody talk about it or...
Mm-hmm. When's the last time you heard somebody talk about Farscape?
Yeah, there's nobody that ever sort of talks about it. There is... I don't know. It's frustrating. There's just no media or anything like that. It was brought back in comic form for a bit.
But at a point that in like 2008 when comic movies were eclipsing comics. So it's like it just kind of missed the boat on that one, you know?
Farscape is sort of the story, though, of wrong place, wrong time from start to finish.
But again, it got 4 seasons. It got 80 episodes.
Yeah.
More or less. That's an incredible feat. And again, I think a testament to its quality.
I think it's really interesting that there was a TV Guide column by a critic who wrote that the cancellation of Farscape will be looked upon by future generations in the same light as science fiction fans look upon NBC canceling the original Star Trek in 1969. I wish that was true. It's not remotely.
Listen, it's a good show and all, but...
No, I wish it was more important because there's a lot of things from this that is brought up from the visual style, the use of color. It's not it's not a dark lit.
I think the astute Up Nerd listeners out there who are following along at home will also notice that the episodes that I put in my bottom were very dark, dank, gray, drab colored versus the ones that I liked, which were very nice and very colorful because I am a child and I need the colors. I need the bright colors and the puppet.
Yeah, it is true. I did jingle keys in front of you during the episodes that were good, so you liked them more.
You've been holding out on me with keys?
But yeah, this was a really good show, and it just stinks it's really been lost. So we watched it on free streaming service Tubi, which it is available on. It's also apparently available on Roku, which is also free. It does get re-released on Blu-ray pretty frequently, but yeah, for the most part, like I say, nobody talks about it. And it's not in the same sense that, so I mentioned Stargate, which is a show that at some point is going to appear on top three, bottom three. Mm-hmm. I love that show. I like Stargate, SG-1, and Atlantis quite a bit. I think this very much kind of falls into the same scope of those in that it's a very underrated science fiction series. And if you like sci-fi, you absolutely need to watch it. Farscape belongs with them in that. Where it doesn't pair up with them is Stargate is somewhat talked about. It's still not talked about very much either. The issue with it is essentially lost media at this point because it's not available streaming anywhere. The only place to get Stargate is Atlantis gets reissued on Blu-ray pretty frequently. SG-1, not as often though. And because it's not available on any streaming sites or anything anywhere in decent quality, we will say, it's been made available in places with essentially VHS style quality, by the way.
A word of caution to our astute Up Nerd listeners, though, it is absolutely the kind of show that like gets put on Netflix or a streaming service and you watch it there and it's great. And then you try to go back and find it like 3 years, 5 years later, and it's just gone. So watch it while you can, I guess. I don't know. It's not lost media in the sense that you were saying, you know, Stargate really only gets re-released on like VHS quality Blu-ray. Yeah.
Well, no, the Blu-rays are good quality. The issue is, so when I say VHS quality releases, it was available streaming from MGM's service and from their website, but the quality is absolute garbage. It is not the way to watch it. And SG-1 in particular has never really been touched up or cleaned up or anything. Where something like Farscape at this point, Shout Factory has the rights to it. And say what you want about Shout Factory, but they do a good job of updating shows and movies to at least look reasonable in the HD TV era. Stuff like, you know, Mystery Science Theater they own, or Reboot, or
did not know they
Transformers,
owned it.
Beast Wars, or things like that, they have the rights to. They do a pretty good job of it. Yeah, it's weird that these cult TV shows, Stargate lasted 10 years.
And then it just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, Stargate lasted 4 years and a movie. Well, to be fair, Stargate got 2 spinoffs, and one of them lasted for 7 years as well, so it did okay. But Farscape was 4 years and a miniseries / movie, and then just, yeah, it's disappeared. And it's really unfortunate. They had one video game at one point in way back in 2002. They tried a board game / role-playing game, I should say, tabletop role-playing, but nothing ever stuck. And it is very unfortunate. Maybe, you know, I'm hoping more people are going to start checking this out because of the sort of physical sets. And I just hope at some point they go back to physical sets, that type of thing. And the last thing I wanted to bring up too, the longer seasons. It does result in episodes like the bottom three, but I miss the longer seasons. We talk about it pretty frequently when we're watching just random episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation or something on TV, that you wouldn't get the quote-unquote throwaway episodes. Some of those are fun and really good. You would never get an episode following Lieutenant Commander Data as he goes about his day learning to tap dance for a wedding if it's only 10 episodes, all killer, no thriller seasons.
No filler. All killer, no filler.
Whoops, sorry. Yeah, all killer.
All killer, all thriller, no filler.
Yes. Whoops. Yeah, you just don't get those. And it's unfortunate. And I understand certain scenarios. I mentioned The Expanse. It is based on a series of books. So you're essentially trying to translate something to a different medium. So you're adding and subtracting there. But you don't have necessarily the space for that type of stuff. I understand those seasons being 10 episodes, but Star Trek, I miss those quote throwaway unquote episodes. I miss being able to spend some time with the characters when they're not in a world ending crisis. I would love to see Melissa Navia's character, who is the pilot on Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I would like to spend time with her, but instead we just don't get the chance to, because we only see sort of crisis time. We have to find out why
Spock's sad this week.
Yeah. We only spend time with sort of the main characters, and it limits the development of everybody else, even though it's an ensemble cast. Farscape is successful because everybody has time to breathe. One of the top episodes is specifically an episode that brings up the past for two of our main characters. That's something that I'm not sure you would get today.
Yeah, that is my favorite episode. That's the one we're talking about, where it's really kind of a character study on different members of the crew, we'll say. It is phenomenal. It is extremely well written. It has tropes, but it doesn't lead you, the audience, to be like, okay, I know what's going on. I know what's happening, blah, 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 blah. And then you're bored intellectually for the next whatever, whatever. There were surprises. It was very, very good. I think the problem that Farscape has is you got to go 100%. So say we take that example from the same season, not that far away from two of these other character study episodes, where Dargo gets a friend and Chiana has a fun time on a cracked out space planet. They needed to do the character studies all the way. For Chiana's, I wanted to bring it up because it brings up a trope and then it just completely dismisses it. And you can't do that to an audience. So for example, you mentioned the life disc. I think I mentioned the life disc. There's a life disc.
You mentioned
the
life
disc. What's a life disc? It's something that you can implant within yourself that is linked to the life of a loved one. So when that disc dies, you know that that loved one is also dead. Weird, weird. It's going to be a little bit tough to market that, but I'm sure with the right spin, you can sell anything, baby. So Chiana's life disc that she has in herself, she removes because she's noticed that, hey, something's different. And it turns out that the person that was linked to that life disc has died. Wow, that's interesting. What do we do now? Now she's taken a spaceship and she's absconded off somewhere in her grief. We, the audience, are like, whoa, that's cool. Okay, maybe she's gone. She's probably gone to figure out what happened. Because when you are told, hey, somebody died, the next question you have is, oh my God, what happened? And not, oh my God, I need the location of the nearest weird cracked out space planet. Very odd. If you're going to introduce a trope, you gotta follow through with it. It's Chekhov's life disc. You can't show us the life disc and talk about how it was linked to this person or that person. And clearly this character has a big effect on her life. And then we just move on to something different. That could have been an awesome episode if we, you know, if she had done what the trope requires, which is, you know, she goes and tries to find out about what happened and we get to learn more about her species and like maybe we'll find out why she moves weird or why she looks the way she does or whatever, whatever. And instead we got confused because the planet that she goes to has people that look and move like her, but I don't think they're the same. Maybe they're the same species, but maybe not.
So bizarre.
So bizarre. Versus season 2, episode 5, The Way We Weren't, which is also a character study for two of these characters, as it turns out, where you've got all the tropes, but they are used to bring the audience along with you to tell a story. Versus being an introduction to the story that you want to tell. And you couldn't figure out a better way to get to it than, she's got a button in her. When the button turns off, means somebody's dead. And then we can do a what happens when she gets sad episode.
Things just sort of happen in that episode. We're not necessarily given reasons or explanations for them. And when you say you got to go 100%, no, you just got to actually explain things or have things make sense or ask yourself, you've got to be able to ask yourself, what would this character do in this particular situation and have it make sense? And you also have to convey the sense to the audience of, okay, well, this is why this person did this, et cetera, et cetera. But there's just no reason for anything here. It just, I don't know. It never rose to anything.
I say for a show like Farscape, they have to go 100% because we are still, remember, it's the year's 1999. The Y2K bug looms over the horizon. And science fiction is still for incredible nerds. So you need, if you want to stand out and if you want to make the art that people clearly wanted to make, because there's so much love and so many things, you have to go 100% on all of it. Otherwise, it just becomes that weird nerd thing that nerds like. And then you don't get renewed for a fifth season.
I guess conversely, I look at, you're talking about science fiction stories. I think the best science fiction stories, or a lot of them, have real world parallels, or the science fiction fiction aspects are just a method or excuse to tell the story. Babylon 5 is an example. At one point, it was conceived of to just be an island, as in, wasn't necessarily going to be set in space at one point. But in the end, the science fiction aspect sort of worked better as a hook to, okay, why would all these races be on this planet versus, okay, we're in space, there's all these races in space. It just made more sense to do it that way. And the overall plots could be conceived of almost anywhere else. And I feel like the best of Farscape incorporates that. A lot of the character plots could have just been done on any planet. You don't necessarily need space or anything like that. It's just, it enhances it a little more versus the weird sort of tropey episodes kind of deliberately require space or science fiction or things like that to work.
There is exactly one human in Farscape, and yet look at all the humanity we are exploring through these alien races. I kind of like that it's not the Star Trek sort of like, he's black on the white side, he's black on the right. I like that it's not necessarily presented as a morality play, but there are things we can learn from it. I like that we're just being told a story about characters and we can take what lessons we want from that, whether that's about, you know, forgiving yourself or forgiving others or
developing the atomic bomb,
just lopping off a pinky toe so that your friend doesn't go to crazy town, you know, little things like that. Developing the atomic bomb. Yeah. So it's
essentially,
it's,
yes.
Potentially. Worse.
No, I said essentially, but
potentially. Potentially, essentially. Worse. I actually really prefer the episodes where nothing world-ending is happening. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy Scorpius whenever he's around. It's a fun time. It is a terrible time, but a fun time. And I particularly enjoy, in one of the best episodes that we watched, which I think deserves to be up there versus some of the others that are the best, but I particularly enjoy when, for story reasons, Ben Browder, who plays the human, the one human, John Crichton, has to play Wayne Pygram playing Scorpius. And it's awesome. It's like Face Off, but way better. I say that like Face Off is high praise. It's the Face Off episode, and it's awesome. It's great.
Face Off was fine. All right, that's it. Next
Face
fine
off
you
was
pick.
Fun.
No, just kidding.
The next fine you pick is actually Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Because you wanted to stay in the futuristic world of 1993.
Yes. Well, it's more, that was the highest grossing film of 1993.
It was. And it's actually very, you know, talk about your practical digital effects. I mean, boy, oh boy, that's going to be a fun one. I sure wouldn't want to miss it.
Do you know what else is going on or was going on in 1993?
I'm sure you'll tell me.
We've talked a lot about shows and things like Farscape. Farscape, really good show. You mentioned Farscape occasionally. It wasn't a morality play, but it does occasionally approach things that are real or could happen in real life. So I guess in the end, the show is about something, but let's do top three, bottom three about a show about nothing.
Oh, God. Okay.
Top three, bottom three episodes of Seinfeld.
Was that 1993? Wow.
I hope so, or else I have to edit things.
I'm sure. Well, it's fine. It's easy to just edit the Wikipedia article at this stage.
That's true. No, Seinfeld ran from 1989 to 98.
I'm sure. The 1990s really started in 1998. The 1988.
Already for 88 miles an hour. You're going to see some serious... Anyway. So, Farscape was excellent. I highly recommend checking it out. Absolutely watch it. Watch it with the help of articles online, because certain places have put the show up out of order, as in they've put it up in production order or airing order versus the actual
Arrested Development and
versus the actual order of the show.
All the episodes.
No, they have occasionally just, it's up out of order. So maybe check out what the actual order should be. Or if you start watching an episode and it doesn't make sense, or you're going, hey, who's that? Or I don't think we left off here. Then maybe it's out of order on that particular service. I believe it was Netflix, sorry. Netflix was one of the prime offenders when it was on it. I do remember that, actually.
Absolutely. Do not watch it the way we watched it.
Yeah.
Don't just
choose random episodes. I've already seen this show. I should mention that I had watched it quite some time ago, probably back when it aired. Since then, I rewatched the first season once with an ex, but the joke's on her because she had the DVDs and physical media. It's just a pain to look around these days. I mean, it's so much easier. But rewatched the first season then, which kind of jump-started my memory of the rest of it at that point. And then obviously rewatching some of this with you, it's so much more pleasant this time. Anyway.
Especially when I point out all the puppets. Listen to me, everybody out there in Radioland. Listen. I did not know when I was getting to be out of high school and entering college age that we would have things like Twitch or streaming or YouTube or whatever, all these ways to monetize your artistic passions. What I'm saying is go to puppet college. If you want to make puppets, go make puppets. There will be some way for you to earn $25,000, which is enough for you to put a roof and some basic food in your belly and just make puppets all day long. Just go do that. Just go live your puppet dreams. And 25. For the rest of us, we have Farscape.
$25,000 a year with it.
Well,
where are you going to live off of that? Jeez.
Well, you're probably going to have a weird theater kid roommate. I'm not going to lie. But listen, I didn't move out till I was 28 and a half years old. So, and I didn't even go to puppet college, man.
You can find Up Nerd at upnerdpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email us. We were found on Twitter at upnerdpodcasts. We can be found on Blue Sky at upnerdpodcasts.bsky.social.
Maybe they'll take me as an independent student.
And we can be found, I hope somebody will take you. Maybe we can find another podcast to take you. Anyway.
I could probably get a leave of absence from work, actually. How long's the sabbatical? It's usually like 7
We can be found on Facebook months. At UpNerd Podcast.
Is it months or years?
As mentioned earlier, our next episode will be Fine You Pick Jurassic Park. That is next scheduled. Sort of episode. Our next one's actually a variety episode.
I have foam.
And then we'll be doing top three, bottom three Seinfeld. Interestingly enough, after Fine, you pick Jurassic Park, we will be doing our first Fine, you pick episode that is a listener submission, which means we do actually have one listener, I guess. So maybe I misspoke earlier or I counted wrong. I can't remember.
So they go to public college. Just do it.
Please.
Feed my tail.
Feel free to review or rate the podcast. Every little bit helps. And other than that, have a great day. I am leaving now. Goodbye.
Where'd you put my, here he is. I do have the bird I got at Comic-Con. Hold on. I guess it's really more of a visual medium. it's not really a radio thing, but
Ben call.